Got to get my nest built. Everybody have a good 4th of July?
Good morning, Paul.
You know, with all this stuff, this bad stuff we know that's going on in America with the COVID-19 and the racial tension being as high as it is, and people thinking that America's just falling apart. Let me tell you something. People beg, borrow, steal, swim, dig, get in shipping crates on ships for weeks just to get to where we are here. We're still the greatest nation on earth, and there's nothing that's going to change that. I'm telling you, I've traveled all over the world. I've never seen people that live as good as Americans live. It is what the rest of the world strives to be. I believe in peaceful protest. I believe it brings about social change. And I understand the outrage. I just do not like the tactics that are going on right now. Don't get me wrong. I do understand as much as I possibly can. I had something a couple of weeks ago that hit me, and I was going to preach it, and I said, you know, I'm not ready, you know. And it wasn't that I wasn't ready to preach. I could preach that fast, anywhere. Walk in, preacher falls over with a heart attack, Paul, you preach? Sure! I've got no problem with that. I've walked in and done that on, not the dead guy thing, but, you know, walked in unannounced and said, hey, we need you to preach, okay? No problem. I don't have a problem doing that. It's an easy thing. But to be able to communicate what I'm really feeling to somebody on a particular subject, I have to bathe that thing, you know? I have to bathe it in prayer and just really spend some time alone with God. And then I'm ready to get up here and preach. And I'm sitting there, and the Holy Ghost starts to convict me. Less than five minutes ago, because my attitude wasn't right. You know, the more you talk to God, the more He's going to point out some things you may not want to know. He's going to point out some good stuff, but He's going to point out some stuff to try to get you to a place that He wants you to be. And it's not for His benefit, it's for your benefit that He's doing it. Are you understand what I'm trying to say? Next Sunday, my pastor will be here and I won't have to preach, and I will sit there and just love life knowing that He's in this pulpit. Bring friends. Fill this place up. We're going to fry fish. And I think Hugh's doing it, isn't he? Hugh Woods frying fish. You never had Hugh Woods fish? You're missing something. That man knows how to make some fish. We were one time in Papua New Guinea. I think I've told you this story. Where the Gospel Lighthouse, and they're about to have their graduation, and Rob was supposed to speak. And all of a sudden, man, he just turned white, went outside, he threw up. He said, I can't do this. I can't do this. I said, well, these people didn't fly from Australia to hear me. So I put my hands on him, prayed for him, and instantly he was healed. Just boom. And he got up and he preached, and he was so full of passion and everything. And we got finished. He said, get me to the motel. I'm wore out. And so we went, and he said, I've never had anything like that happen to me. I said, getting sick like that? He said, no, getting well like that. You know? And it's just, we've had so many cool adventures together. But he's taught me so much. And the thing that he taught me more about, it was two things. One of them was, he said, create a culture that you would want to worship God in. Create a culture within your people that you're going to draw those type of people. And you know me, I don't like stuffy people, you know. I'm just not that way. You know, but I love people that are honest and down to earth. That's what I look for. I mean, those are two qualities that I look for in people. That if they say, you know what, we're going to do something, I don't have to worry that it's done. And so I kind of tried to create a culture where it drew those types of people. And it did. But the other thing that he told me that I'll never forget is he said, chase your passion and staff your weaknesses. Well, I didn't have anybody to staff anything with. You know, I mean, but the more I chased that passion that was in me, the more people God started sending that would do the things that I wasn't very good at, you know, or that I just didn't really like to do. I may not have been very good at it because I just didn't like it. You know, it's hard to be good at something you don't like. I mean, you know, it's just hard to do. But anyway, so I wanted to bring forth a message. You know, everyone asks themselves at one time or another, you know, what am I here for? Why did God create me? Why did He create me to be here? Why did He create me to be in this time, in this place? And why? You can never live in that world because God gives you the reasons that you are on this earth. You don't have to wonder that. And once you figure that out, you don't have to go chasing the plan of God. The plan of God and the purpose of God will come to you. You don't have to go chasing it. Does that make any sense? You know, people are, I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, you know what? Find something you're passionate about. Get involved. Serve. And I promise you, God will show you. He doesn't have to come out of have to come out of heaven and, you know, or God doesn't have to just place it on you. Sometimes He does. But I promise you, it will come to you the more you do what you are created for. Well, what were you created for? In John 4 and in Genesis, you'll find out that you are a creation that was created to worship. You're going to worship something. All human beings are going to worship something. They're going to worship chasing success. It consumes their time. The first, you know, I like to call them the Navy SEAL workers. They're the first one in and the last one to leave. And the people that pay the price is generally their children and their relationships with their spouses. Some people worship their spouse. That's all they do is live for their spouse. I mean, you know, I mean, but you're created to worship. You can't help it. It's like a Labrador Retriever. They're going to retrieve. It's in their DNA. What makes a goose fly from Canada to Louisiana every winter? Don't know. It's just in their DNA. It's in your DNA to worship. You're going to worship something, but the thing you're made to worship is God. And when you get that mixed up, man, it screws everything up. It just messes stuff up, and it gets you so messed up in the head that you can't get things done. And then, 1 John 3:8 tells us what we're supposed to be doing as well. It is to do what Jesus said to do. What was Jesus? For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. That's what you are created to do too. I'm passionate about this thing now. I'm telling you. Destroy the works of the devil. Destroy the works of the devil. That's one of the things that you were created to do. To worship and to destroy the works of the devil. Why? What's the devil's job? To kill, steal, and destroy. So your job is to destroy what he's making to destroy Christians and the kingdom. The third thing was Ephesians 2:10. What's that say? We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in Him. You are created for good works. When people want to say, what am I here for? This is what you're created for. To worship, to destroy the works of the enemy, and for good works. And it even goes on to say in John 14 that even greater works than Jesus did while he was on the earth. We're created for greatness, but we'll never get to that greatness until we have a passion for service, to serve people, to do good works. Until you get a passion to do what you were created for, you're never going to fulfill what God has for you. You're never going to be successful in this life until you have a passion for people. Because the works are for the people. Well, what are you working on? I'm going to go up to the church building and we're going to roof it. That's great. But, you know, you're doing it for the people that are in the church. You're not doing it for the church. People like to use that thing. You know what I've done for that church? You've done nothing for that church. This church, this room is a tool to help people. When you lose sight of what you're doing, when you're trying to serve a church, you're trying to serve a ministry, or you're trying to, that you can't look at it that way. You're trying to use this vessel to help people. That's what good works are, and it's important that we know that before we move on, because it's hard to get passion about something, but it's easy to get passion for someone. So when you figure that out, when you figure out everything that you do is a hook to pull somebody in the kingdom or a step up to let them reach higher in the kingdom. We're created to serve, not to rule. That's what Jesus was created for. He was created for service. He came and he served mankind for over 30 years. And then when he defeated death, then he was placed in the ruler's seat, the right hand of Christ. You got to serve before you can lead. If Jesus had to, why do you think we don't have to? Jesus had so much passion for people that he went to a cross. Right? I'm not going to try to get you fired up, you know, because it brings out the Baptist in people. Or the Pentecostal, or you know, those that you know, you can get on a tear, and you can go, you know, and Jesus died. I let me figure out one. There's a lot of key ones. I used to preach in the Baptist church. I could get people fired up, but that's not my job. My job is to educate. My job is to train. My job is to make sure that you're successful in life. It's not to fire you up, and just so you can say woohoo. But they got these key things that you're taught. That if your audience, you're losing your audience. You mentioned the cross. You mentioned the blood. It's nothing but the blood. Whatever you want to say. It's just, you know, over 2,000 years ago, man named Jesus bore your sins on a cross in public in 3 days. And you know, and everybody's going, woo, 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 you know. Everybody in that room knows that. You're not bringing anything new to the table. But, you know, I can Baptistize that thing to where you can people get all fired up. You watch. And then you got the other thing that God's speaking to you while you're preaching. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Where was I? They're trying to find their place in their notes. You see, I'm not like that. I want you to be educated. I want you to realize that I have a passion for you. And I want that passion to be contagious, that you have a passion for people. That we're not here for a show. We're here to be better human beings. We're here to enhance, expand, and make the kingdom of God a better place. That's the reason that that I'm standing here today, and that's the reason you're in this room with me. This place is a tool to get things done in the kingdom. And it's got to be done with passion, or it's just not going to work. Whew! If we can't have passion, we can't fuel our soul. And if your soul is not fueled, you'll be a miserable person. If you just do things for the sake of doing them. And sometimes I've done it, and you have too, and you know it was the right thing to do, but didn't feel like it, didn't have a lot of passion, but you did it anyway, and you know, I get it. I've done it myself. But that can't become a habit. If you don't have a passion for people, you can't have a passion for God. Why? Because He said the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And then He said what? And love your neighbor as yourself. So He was trying to connect us all with that one statement. You love God, you love people. He was trying to get that point across to us. Love God, love people. If you can connect people to God, I'm telling you what, I have a passion for that type of thing. I love connecting God to people and people to God. It's just the coolest thing ever. Oh, if you can't fuel your soul, you'll burn out and live a defeated, unsuccessful life. My job is to help you live a productive, successful life. Well, how do you say that? Well, a shepherd is supposed to make his flock produce. Not just go from one green pasture to the other. Not just to give them water when they need it or protect them from the wolf. He's got to make the flock productive. They have to produce wool. They have to produce meat. The flock has to produce, or the shepherd is a failure. It's not the sheep that are the failure. It's the shepherd that did not produce what they needed to be productive, successful flock. Whew, are y'all getting this? Without passion, that's impossible. Without passion, nothing will satisfy you. Money, possessions, fame, fortune, none of that will fulfill you for any amount of time if you don't have a passion for people. Who knows who Kurt Cobain is? Robin Williams. What didn't they have? As far as possessions and money, there's the sky's the limit with those guys. But there was something lacking in them. Because what happened is, when you don't have a passion to do something, to get up and go do something, if you don't have something in your life that brings passion into your life, that you will get bitter, you will get depressed, you will become isolated, and eventually something bad's going to happen. Something bad's going to happen. You got to have a passion. You got to have a passion. Man. Service of God and service to others is the same thing. It's the same thing. Well, how do you know that? Okay. Go to my scriptures. Matthew, this is the Bible. This is the book of Matthew. What verse? What? The 25th chapter, 35 through 40, says this: For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say, then assuredly I say to you, and as so much as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. So how in the world do we serve God with a passion? By doing it to the least of the kingdom. Or those that are not even in the kingdom. Those are the ones we're trying to reach, right? I'm not trying to reach you to get you saved. I mean, if so, we can do that real quick. That's easy. That's the easy stuff. Getting saved to fill the Holy Ghost, that's the easy stuff. You don't need a pastor to do that, but, you know, what I'm saying is that's the easiest part of my job. The hardest part is to make people understand that we're just a small part of a big machine called the kingdom of God. And we've got to expand on that. You know, there's different people that have different jobs in the kingdom, and one job's not more important than the other job. I'm going to this in detail, and it says, you know, we are the body of Christ. Is the ear more important than the eye and everything? No. They all work together for the good of the kingdom. So, you know, what I want to get into you, and I thought this was going to go a little bit different than it did, but it's okay. But what I want to get into you is passion. Passion for people. You know, when Rob told me that, like I said, I didn't have anybody that helped, but you know, I had Joe. Hey, Joe LeBlanc, and man, we started that food pantry, and we had a passion for it. I mean, a passion. We were going to do this thing, and then, you know, I just kind of backed off after it got going pretty good and let Joe run with it until he died, and then Jessica took it and took it to a level neither of us could have done it. You know, and now we got Marvely in there, and we got Katie in there, and we got there's a million people. It seems like a million people in there working. People that aren't even part of this church, but they want to be a part of something bigger than themselves, and so they come. Mothers bring their children in here to pack groceries that aren't even that never stepped foot in our church and never will, but they want to teach their children how to serve somebody. And so they come here. Why? Because that's what we've got in us. We have that in us. Why? Because you're taught that every single Sunday, it seems like. You got to do something. You got to serve somebody. You've got to serve people. You got to serve God, serve people. You got to serve the kingdom. You're constantly in there. That's the culture that we've created. Because I'm just going to tell you, it ain't like that anywhere or everywhere else. I've had people that have left this and moved off and said, man, we can't find a church like that. So you're not going to because it's not a church, it's culture. It's a culture that we've created that good, hardworking, honest, true to their word people that believe that their job is to serve others. And they do it with passion. You're not going to find that everywhere. There's a lot of places you can, but you're just not going to pull up in a city and find that. Why? Because it was a culture that was created on purpose. Nothing. If something was created in a church by accident, it's probably not God. Everything God does is on purpose. He's never done so accidentally. Oop, didn't mean to do that. God never said that. He's got a purpose for everything. Everything he does is on purpose. And so we've created this for a purpose. But, you know, it just seemed like, you know, the more stuff that I hated doing, God started sending the right people, you know. I mean, Chris does stuff. Chris and Joel take care of stuff I don't want to touch. You know, Greg and Angel, they do the stuff I really don't want to. I feel like I've got a staff of people that just stay there to make sure I don't have to do something I don't want to do. That's what it seems like. Why? So I can do what I want to do. Let's talk about passion real quick. Nah. This is not exactly. What does it do? There we go. What does passion do? For one, it makes you believable. If you start talking to me about world missions, I get so passionate in what I'm saying, I promise you they're going to write me a check before they get out of my sight. Is that true, Jessica? I'm telling you, I talk about, I said, man, we're doing this here and we're doing this here. I've got to go to Africa and I'll be in Tanzania and I'll be in Botswana, I'll be in Mozambique and then I'm going up to Bulgaria and then I'm going to Myanmar and I'm going to China in December. Did I tell you that? I'm sorry. And China and Myanmar, which is formerly Burma, Egan and I are doing a conference together over there. He's coming from Tanzania and I'm coming from here. But when I start talking about that stuff, I get so fired up. Why? Because that just make I get into situations that people go, oh my God, they're going to die. And I'm going, this is what I'm made for. This is what I'm made for. I mean, I love it. I enjoy that stuff. I mean, I've been in some hairy situations, man. And I forget that, you know, other people hadn't been in that situation, you know, and they'll go with me from time to time. I don't take them to most of the bad places, but some of them, you know, they can't get used to the people carrying M16s everywhere you go, you know, and they're going, man, what are they doing? I said, no, we don't worry about them. They just act like they don't exist. Because it's a non-existent thing to me. I've done it so many times it doesn't bother me. I've been in crusades where they shoot off the rifles. They shoot off the machine guns by the speakers when you preach because they didn't want people to hear it. Think that'll get you off your notes? But you start preaching the word and they stop. Because even those people are hungry for what we have every single day and they don't have it. And I'm not talking about material possession. I'm talking about an anointed word at an anointed time. I can't stop talking about it now. Why? Because I'm passionate about it. When we started the food pantry, I was passionate about it. Passionate about it. Now I don't have to be, because she is. And she is. And so many other people. I don't have to be. I don't, you know, groceries don't get me excited. But you're talking about going to an island, you know, in the middle of the South Pacific? Oh, I get excited about that. You know. I've been to Africa 13 times. Got malaria twice. Been in 3 Ebola outbreaks. I love it. I'd go tomorrow if I could get on a plane and get somewhere. Nothing like it. Write me a check. Joking. It makes you go. Passion will make you go the extra mile. It'll make you stay late. It'll make you a Navy SEAL. First one in, last one out. It'll make you go the extra mile. Because you have a passion for it. And you know what? Nobody can raise your baby like you can raise your baby. You've got to have a passion because it makes you put that extra effort. You've got to have a passion for people that what you're doing is reaching people. It's changing people's lives. My gosh, it's just, let me tell you, man, when they shut down all everything, you know, we worked more than we've ever worked before. We quadrupled the distribution that we were having because people were just being laid off, and it was, y'all remember, it was awful. Still sucks, but it was really sucked back then. It was bad. But, you know, and it just goes the whole time, you know, I want to get a summer feeding program. Well, you know what? They called her and said, hey, can you do a summer feeding program? And Katie's been wanting to get involved in that forever, so now Katie runs that thing. See? Staffing for her. Why? Because she's got a passion for people, and she needs Marvelly, and she needs Katie, and she needs Leanne, and she needs all on and on and on and on and on. God has staffed all of her stuff too. Why? Because she's got so much passion about what she does. God doesn't look at that and say, you know what, I'm just going to leave her by on her own. No, she's going to send her somebody with a passion to do what she needs to get done. Man, y'all don't know how important it is to have passion about what you're doing and who you're serving, because God can get involved at that point. He'll open doors. I'm thinking to tell you some stories, man. I am. It makes you pray for things that you never prayed for. I'll explain that. When I got saved, you know, I was old, 37, 38 years old. And I felt like I'd wasted all my life, which I had. It'd been interesting, it'd been fun, it'd been wild at times, but it was wasted because I know now what I was made to do, and I ran from it for so long that I've got to make up for lost time. That was my thing. I'll never waste time again. I'll never waste time again. I'm not going to waste my life. I'm going to do something. And I'm from Castor. You know, it's not much in Castor, except the general store. You can go in a general store in Castor, Louisiana. If you need to perform brain surgery, they got everything you need right there. Whatever you need done, it's at the general store. People drive from all over to go to the general store in Castor, Louisiana, because they got everything. That's the only thing we got is the general store. But, you know, I mean, and there I was from that small town. And I'm telling people, and they know who I was the day before. So I'm telling people, I'm traveling all over the world. I'm going to preach to a million people. I'm going to have crowds of 50, 60, 70,000 people. I'm going to reach, I'm going to change the world. I'm going to travel around the world 100 times. Paul, you're still hung over from yesterday, you know. You know, I mean, but when God changed my life, He gave me a passion for that stuff. I had no idea. I never had no idea I was in that, you know, I had that in me. But for immediately, the Holy Ghost came in and showed me everything that I was going to do. I wasn't saying this out of boastfulness. I felt kind of like Joseph when he told his dream, you know, to his brothers. You know, and they took it the wrong way. I was talking to all of Joseph's brothers, you know, and they're going, you idiot. You're not going there. You're not going around the world. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. And you know what? All of them still saying, you know, idiots flying all over the world. The Holy Ghost will increase your passion. Okay, here we go. Peter. At the day of Pentecost, when passion comes, when you have a passion for Christ, the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, whatever you want to say, it's the same thing either way you look at it. The Holy Spirit will come. In Acts 1:8 says you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You need power, but you need passion, because power that's not passion driven is quickly interrupted or misguided. Did I lose you there? If you've got power to do something but no love for the people that you're doing it for, it's not going to do what it's supposed to do. You've got, in other words, you have to have the right intent to get the right result. Mm-hmm. Peter preached to 3,000 people that day that got saved. There had been nothing previously recorded about Peter ever saying anything intelligent in his entire life. If you can find there some place in the Bible where Peter did something smart before this, hey, let me know. I'll say I'm wrong. I know I got a black eye coming when I get to heaven, but it's just the way it is. Peter was a doofus. But, man, the Holy Ghost came, and he became the leader of the New Testament church. I mean, he was a tough guy, and then he wasn't a tough guy. And then he was, you know, he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything different than Judas. He just didn't kill himself and he got forgiven. Think about it. He denied him 3 times. But first he cut off a dude's ear the night before. God never did anything intelligent in his life. But when the Holy Ghost came, it gave him a passion to reach those people. And that allowed the Holy Spirit to speak through him and to them. And it pierced their heart. And they wanted what he had. Because passion makes you believable. They want what you've got when you're passionate about who you're serving and what you're doing. Moses had a passion and a love for the Hebrew people. Let me tell you what, those people were so screwed up that God wanted to wipe them out. But Moses talked him out of it. Am I wrong? Am I wrong, Travis? Why did he have such a love for the Hebrew people? I've got my opinions, but that's all that it is an opinion. You want to hear it? Okay, this is my opinion. He kind of felt like he was robbed out of his birthright because he was raised by an Egyptian, and he never knew he was Hebrew till later in life. And then when they found out he was Hebrew and he killed the guard, everything, he was exiled. And then when he saw that burning bush and God spoke to him, it gave him an identity of who he was and what he was supposed to do. He was 80 years old. And it took him that long to find out who he was and what he was supposed to do. And then he did it. Why? Because he knew who he belonged to. He knew he was Hebrew and he belonged to God, the great I Am, and that he was going to do whatever God told him to do. Why is it we don't see anything great that Moses did before he was 80? Because he saw God. He saw God. And things changed. He had a passion for those people. You know when God told me to, do y'all know when God told me to build his church? He never did. He said, build a world outreach center. There's too many churches that aren't acting like the church. So God never used church with me. He said, world outreach center. Reach the people in your community and reach the world from one location. And man, we had a dandy building downtown. Beautiful. Man, we had a nice little children's wing. Food bank was massive. It was time to enlarge. It was time to move on. It was time to grow and to get out of that super facility we had. And that was a piece of junk, but man, I loved it because God gave it to us, and it served a purpose. But when I believe God puts you in a place. I believe it says despise not the small things, because God's looking to see if you're going to get something done where you are before He can ever move you into something that's... That's why God didn't tell me to build a church. He said build a world outreach center, because if He would have said build a church, I would have had the mindset that other churches had. And God didn't want that. God wanted a church that was built on by Him, not by me, but people driven. If He would have said build a church, we'd have had a building program, we'd have had a building fund, but we ain't never had none of that. You know why? We don't need it. We just do what God says do, and He takes care of the rest. How much do we pay for this campus, Greg?
$1 a year.
If you start doing and serving with passion the things that God is placed on your heart, He'll give you whatever you need. You don't have to go out and buy it.
Amen.
You don't have to have a building fund. You don't have to have a building program. You don't even have to have a building.
Amen.
He'll give it to you. Well, that thing just worked out. Well, all right. I have... Dawn Rambo told me a story of a woman, and it just pierced my heart. It just pierced my heart. And I can't even say it. So I said, we're going to do something for those women. And somebody gave me 2 houses. I said, all right, we're going to fix them up and we're going to get them ready, and then the girls are going to start coming, and Generation House girls are here. And it's just amazing. If you have a passion, God will provide what you need. Moses had a passion for the Hebrew people, and God split a sea for him. Just, there's nothing that God won't do if you have a passion for the people that you're put here to serve. Wow. But after the food bank got running pretty good, you know, I have to tell Jessica to do what Jessica calls me 10, 12 times a day asking me what to do. You know, Dorothy and Jordan and Megan, they're calling me 10, 12 times a day and asking me what's going, you know, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? What do I need? No, because people with a greater passion for it can take it over. I can't manage nothing. I can't maintain nothing. I don't even mow my own grass. I can't maintain jack. You hear me? Nothing. I'm bored. I get bored with it. I won't do it. I get to where I'm supposed to go. And you can ask anybody that's known me my whole life. I get to the pinnacle of what I'm doing and I stop. And then I find something else. And I'll accomplish that. And I'll stop. That's the way I was. I didn't know why I was made that way. It was just the way I was made. It was the way I was wired. You know, I started training dogs, field trial Labrador Retriever. I trained more champions than any man in the history of the sport, and I did it in 6 years. Lost interest. My whole life was like that. And I didn't realize that it was leading me up to a point where that's the way that God made me. All right, Joe, we're going to build that food bank. And then, ma'am, it gets rolling, and then, Generation House, what's up and running? It's going, it's doing good, got good leadership in there. Oh, hi, I'm done with it. But the one thing I can't stop is preaching on foreign soil. There's something about it. I immerse myself in a culture. And I mean, I immerse myself in the culture. I eat what they eat. I do what they do. I mean, I want to be a part of that culture because the better I understand them, the easier it is to reach them. And I just love that. I started praying. You know, this is what passion will do. Make you pray for stuff you didn't want to. I prayed, God, I want to preach better with an interpreter than I preach without one. And I do. It kind of sucks now because y'all get second best. But ask anybody that's traveled with me. It's different. It is a totally different story when I'm on foreign soil than when I'm home. I don't understand it, but that's the way it is. Oh, I got to shut this thing down. You guys are getting hungry, right? Yeah. I'm Braden. Yeah, Braden. Oh, if you chase your passion, God will open doors that no man can open for you. Fleshly passion mourns the soul and brings depression and self-worth. No self-worth. Godly passion fuels the soul. When you do this, when you really chase that passion, just get in and serve. It doesn't matter where it is. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Just do something. Just serve somewhere. And I promise you, God will lead you to where you have a love and a passion for something. And it's going to be your field of expertise in the kingdom of God. It's going to be what you can't live without. You never knew you couldn't before, but you just know you can't live without it now. And it increases that passion for God because the two are combined. God, passion for people, passion for God, love for people, love for God. It brings those two things together, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to be a part of when you're doing this. A godly passion for doing something, it brings forth excellence. It brings self-worth. It brings that you're worth something to the kingdom of God. That God chose you. That you're not an accident. That you are. God created you on purpose for this purpose. It gives you such a sense of pride. And I'm not talking about worldly pride. I'm talking about it makes you feel good that God's doing something through you. That's more of a godly pride. It's not something that you're doing. But if you're allowing God to do something in you and through you. There's two things that God wants. He wants His Son to be manifest in you, and He wants His Son to be made manifest through you. The problem is, most people just get the first part. I'm saved. Cool. That is not the reason Jesus saved you. The old covenant was to get Jesus in the earth. The new covenant was to get Jesus into you. Why? So then you know how to act like Him. And that's our job. That's our job. Act like Jesus. Serve people. Destroy the works of the enemy. Worship Him. Amen. Stand up. I said, I've said enough. I got a bunch more, but yeah. Just remember that you are God's crowning point of creation and you are God's best. But, hey, there's some that may want an increased passion. Or maybe you've lost passion. Or maybe you've lost some of your passion. But and then there's some that may be just looking for what God has for you to do. Have something that's for you to be passionate about. Something that I take Jody as an example. She has a passion to cook, and she's the best I know. My gosh, people do articles on her constantly. She's in some magazine every couple of months. But you know what? walk in her business. Listen to what you hear. See the people that work for her. I don't think they're, she's full, her staff's full now, but she's invested. to the lives of the women in Generation House. And you know what? Those girls are invested into her life. I promise you. They go up there and work from time to time when they really don't, you know, they're not on the clock, but they'll go that extra mile because they see the passion that Jody has for them. And they have a passion for her. But if you need to find that passion, if you need that passion restored or whatever, just lift up your hands and let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you so much for all that you've done and all that you're doing and all that you're going to do in us and through us. Father, we thank you so much that true passion happened on Calvary. That your love for us was so much that you took everything that the world had to offer and you did it alone. And you defeated hell, death, and the grave. Not for your own benefit, but for ours. And we thank you for that passion, Father. And I speak, Father, more passion in these people's lives, passion for people, not for things, but for people, Lord, that they realize that their job is to serve and serve with pleasure. Have a passion for people, Father, a passion for service, and a passion for you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.